5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is Yahoo Sports Radio 1560.
Davis tries to grip, and it's in!
KGOW Bel Air Houston, a GAU Media radio station. You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo. Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the GAU building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. I'm Glenn Davis. I hope you have been enjoying all the soccer content that we provide here on Dynamo All Access. Of course, over on ESPN 97.5 at Soccer Matters. You can follow me at Twitter, Glenn Davis Soc. Also, you can go to Facebook, Soccer Matters, for all the content and ideas and things that are being debated. Not only that, the radio times for both Dynamo All Access right here on Yahoo Sports Radio and Soccer Matters over on ESPN 97.5. All right, great opportunity this week to catch up with the 21-year-old Argentine, signed by the Houston Dynamo, well, really on loan from Independiente. Lionel Miranda had an excellent game against the LA Galaxy, capped his performance with a great goal, the third and final goal in the Dynamo 3-0 win. Here's Lionel Miranda, and my thanks to Lester Gretsch for his translation.
Just talk about the excitement here about producing that third goal in such spectacular fashion.
Pues habla un poquito acerca del gol, ¿no? Ese gol que todavía está generando de qué hablar, porque fue un verdadero golazo.
Ah, bueno, nada, una jugada rápida, ¿no? Ya terminando el partido, la verdad que uno llega sin piernas jugando 90 que el equipo hizo, ¿no? Todo el partido de sacrificio, de desgaste hicimos todos nosotros, creo que fue un partido muy bueno. Una jugada rápida, llegamos al área rápido, ¿no? Con tres toques estábamos en el área. Sabía que no iba a tener fuerza para pegarle muy fuerte después de 90 minutos, así que intenté hacer lo que pude y bueno, salió eso y la verdad que me dio una alegría enorme.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just one of those things, right? You know, it was a very difficult game. It was hard for both teams. It was hot. It was muggy. Both teams were struggling at the end of the game. I think, like I said, after the game on Saturday, I was tired. I was just trying to get the play finished. I was just trying to finish it off. You know, luckily for me, you know, with three touches, I was able to be inside the box, and I had an opportunity to finish. My legs weren't really responding at that time, so I really had to come up with something, and luckily I did what I did, and it went in.
Where does this goal rank in his in your young career, Lionel, when it comes to importance?
En tu joven carrera como jugador, ¿cómo clasificarías este gol? ¿Es uno de tus mejores goles o está más o menos en el medio? ¿Cómo lo ves?
Sí, obvio que primero siempre se pone el del debut, ¿no? Cuando debuté en Argentina también justo en el clásico del equipo de Avellaneda, los dos equipos, me toca hacer un gol a los dos minutos, que bueno, eso fue como una sorpresa enorme. Nunca lo esperaba, pero bueno, siempre uno sueña con eso, más cuando debuta hacer un gol en un clásico, es algo muy importante, pero bueno, este gol lo pongo en un lugar muy importante también, ¿no? Porque bueno, mi primer gol en la MLS oficial y creo que es un fuerte golpe anímico para mí, ¿no? Para seguir con confianza, para seguir aumentando los minutos y cada vez demostrar más, que para demostrar la confianza también que me pusieron para el traerme.
Yeah, obviously it was a very important goal. I think, you know, all the goals you score when you debut are important. And I also scored in my debut in Argentina in a Racing Independiente game, which was a classic. You know, it was a derby in Avellaneda. So, you know, for me to score in that particular game in my debut, in my professional debut, was very important. But this particular goal was also very important because of the fact that I scored in my MLS debut. And, you know, given the circumstances and given the goal, the way it happened, happen occupies a very special place in my heart.
Was it a special night also merely because of the presence of the likes of Steven Gerrard and Robbie Keane?
Quizás una noche especial también por la presencia de jugadores como Steven Gerrard, Robbie Keane, etcétera, ¿no?
Sí, creo que son jugadores, ¿no?, de un renombre muy alto, pero bueno, sabemos que adentro de la cancha éramos todos iguales, teníamos que hacer lo que nosotros veníamos intentando en varios partidos y por ahí se nos negaba, ¿no? Creo que el equipo venía haciendo las cosas bien, pero por ahí los resultados no lo reflejaban. Sabíamos que manteniendo el arco en cero las ocasiones iban a salir y bueno, así fue. Nos cerramos bien cuando ellos atacaban y salimos rápido y pudimos hacer los goles y después, bueno, creo que manejamos muy bien la pelota, ¿no?
Yeah, I think those are players that are well-known, very respected, a great pedigree on the field. But, you know, you need to remember that once we're all on the field, we're all equals. You know, we're all fighting for one common goal, which is to win the game. Luckily for us, we were able to score. We were able to hold on to the ball. We were able to keep them away from scoring. And I think that was completely, that was what made the difference for us on the field. So, yeah, it was a special night, but on the field, you know, it was business as usual.
Lionel Miranda joining us here. As we continue on, let's just speak a little bit about the intensity of training now and competition within the Dynamo and how competitive does he feel it is to get on the playing field?
Hablando un poquito acerca de la competitividad dentro de del equipo y en la liga, habla un poquito acerca de lo difícil que puede llegar a ser quizás el jugar en esta liga y el tener minutos de manera consistente, ¿no?, semana tras semana.
Sí, bueno, es algo que lleva un proceso, ¿no? Es mi primer año y sabía que apenas llegar no iba a volver a jugar, ¿no? Uno a veces se pasa en ansioso y quiere todo rápido, pero bueno, ahí es donde uno necesita más de la familia, de los allegados para sentar cabeza, bajar los pies a la tierra, ¿no?, y estar tranquilo. Creo que ese fue mi caso. Llegué y bueno, me tocó jugar los primeros partidos, pero bueno, después bueno, tuve partidos que no jugué. Uno siempre trata de no bajonearse, es difícil porque uno siempre quiere estar ayudando, pero bueno, me tocó ayudar de otro lado y bueno, cuando me tocó dije que lo iba a aprovechar al 100, vino a los partidos de la Copa y bueno, me ayudó mucho esos 90 minutos para la confianza, para agarrar el minuto y para tener las ganas de siempre estar ahí adentro y que el técnico se fije en mí.
Yeah, this is a very difficult league. I think I was fortunate enough in the fact that as soon as I came in, I was able to see some minutes, right? And that's important because of the fact that a player like me, you know, we tend to get anxious because of the fact that we want to get on the field as quickly as possible and make an impact, as I've said many times before. And then for a while there was a period of inactivity, you know, where I really wasn't seeing minutes as regularly as I wanted to. So that was difficult, but I knew that if I kept playing the way I play and if I kept being consistent, not only at training, but also during games, the opportunities would come. And luckily, you know, I had the opportunity to play during the Open Cup, had the opportunity to get some important minutes and to do some important things. And confidence that Owen had in me translated into the game on Sunday, or Saturday.
Lionel Miranda joining us here. In those moments when you're not playing, can you sometimes overthink it? When you're alone at home, when you're driving in your car, can you overthink it?
Cuando estás jugando o cuando no estás jugando y pues no se te dan estas oportunidades que tú quizás quieres tener, quizás estás solo en la casa, quizás estás manejando en tu carro, ¿piensas de más en torno a eso de que, hijo, no estoy jugando?
Sí, creo que uno siempre piensa cosas, ¿no? Cuando las cosas van mal, piensa de más, creo. Cosas que son relativas al fútbol, ¿no? Yo por ahí, cuando no me toca jugar, pienso en cosas como que estoy haciendo mal o soy bastante autocrítico en ese sentido. Trato de buscar la forma de saber qué estoy haciendo mal para poder estar dentro del equipo. Obvio que luego uno habla, yo tengo mi novia en mi casa y todos los días trato de que ella me diga si estoy haciendo algo mal, si sabe que hago algo mal cuando juego, o si hago mal en la vida, en lo cotidiano, pero bueno, es algo que uno siempre se pregunta cuando las cosas no van bien, ¿no? Pero uno siempre tengo la tranquilidad de que lo mejor siempre está por venir, ¿no?
Yeah, it's very easy to be self-critical and to question yourself when things are not going the way you want them to go, right? On a personal level, I always try to be very self-critical, especially when I'm not playing the minutes that I would like to play. You know, what am I doing wrong? What am I failing at? What could I be doing better? And that's something that I always not only do a lot of self-analysis on or with regards to, but I also consult with my girlfriend. You know, my girlfriend is living here with me, and I always ask her, what am I doing wrong, not only on the field, but also in my everyday life? And a lot of times she comes back with some good wisdom, so that also helps.
What about the diversity of the locker room? You've got Hondurans, Mexicans, Argentines, Colombians, Americans. Is that something interesting for him at this phase of his career? And does that uniqueness make it a fun team to be around?
Obviamente, un vestidor bastante diverso, ¿no? Con sí. todos los hondureños, con vos, con Raúl, etcétera, ¿no? ¿Te ayuda? ¿Lo hace único? ¿Es una buena experiencia para ti al tener tanta diversidad y tantos hispanos en el vestidor?
Sí, no lo tomo así, ¿no? Creo que ayuda en el sentido de relacionarte, pero el tema futbolístico creo que yo a donde voy trato de fijarme en mí, ¿no? Y tratar de mejorar día a día. Obvio que esto es un juego de equipo, creo que adentro de la cancha sí hay que jugar como equipo, ¿no? Pero uno siempre trata de mejorar individualmente, de estar mejor, de ponerse al 100, de estar bien en lo físico, en lo técnico para jugar. Pero sí, ayuda el tema de relacionarse, de no estar callado, de por ahí hacer chistes, de alegrar al día, a la mañana, arrancarla siempre bien para estar mejor y llevar todo el día muy bien, ¿no?
Yeah, I mean, it helps on a personal level. It helps on relationship building and not, you know, being in a situation where you're just in your own little corner in the locker room, not talking to anyone, not, you know, joking around or doing whatever, you know. It helps in that regard. But when it comes to football, I mean, football is football. You know, we're all here to do a job. You know, that's what we're here to do. And on the field, you know, we all play the same game and speak the same language, so to speak. So, yeah, it's good for relationship building. But besides that, I mean, it's you know, it's business as usual.
Lionel Miranda joining us here. Last question. Owen Coyle, he's had a lot of different managers during his career. Now he's got a British manager, which is the first time that's ever happened. What's it been like to be under this manager, and how does he like it?
Obviamente, la última pregunta, hablando acerca un poquito de Owen Coyle, ¿no? Es la primera vez que tienes un entrenador inglés. ¿Qué tal? ¿Cómo te sientes con él? ¿Cómo ves tu experiencia bajo su tutela?
No, creo que uno trata de siempre no ser autocrítico. Yo nunca trato de fijarme en lo que piensa el técnico, así algo distinto, ¿no? Yo creo que si uno hace lo que él pide, siempre las cosas van a ir bien. Luego, si uno quiere hacer más de lo que uno le pide, siempre salen las cosas mal. Yo creo que Owen me depositó mucha confianza en mí. Trato de devolvérsela a los partidos, tratar de correr siempre, de estar siempre bien parado, de demostrarle que uno quiere jugar. Y creo que ahí se arranca, ¿no?, la buena relación con alguien así del cuerpo técnico, ¿no? Es muy buena persona, muy buena gente, lo poco que por ahí hablamos, creo que es muy sincero, y eso siempre ayuda mucho al jugador, ¿no? Que una persona se le acerque a hablar, no tanto en las buenas como en las malas, ayuda mucho y sabe que en cualquier momento, cuando uno esté mejor, va a jugar y que tiene que aprovechar ese momento.
Perfecto. Yeah, no, I mean, with Owen, you know, the relationship is good. The relationship is good. I try to be very self-critical with what I do more than anything. You know, if I do what he asks me to do on the training pitch and also on the field, I'm going to be fine, right? And even though there's a language barrier there, you know, we still talk. He's a very good man. He's a very upfront man. He's very honest. And that's something I really value. You know, he comes to me and he talks to me, even though the relationship barrier, the language barrier is there. We still talk a little bit every once in a while. And it's good to see that he comes to me in the good times and in the bad times. And I know that if I continue to do what he asks me to do on the field and off the field, then, you know, good things are going to come, and he's going to take me into account more and more.
Gracias, Lionel.
No, gracias.
So that was 21-year-old Lionel Miranda from Argentina on loan to the Houston Dynamo, capping a very diligent performance against the LA Galaxy on both sides of the ball with what was a spectacular goal, leaving two defenders and then banking it in off the post. All right, we'll take a break. We have a lot more to come here on the show. It's Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. I'm Glenn Davis. Nobody press up and mess up.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo. Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gal Building, overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Dynamo All Access. We roll on here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM, and it's always great to get to catch up with the general manager, Matt Jordan. Here's Matt Jordan from down at Dynamo Training this week.
Matt, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thank you very much for having me, as always.
All right. Must have been an exciting night for you as well to see some of the things crystallize in the Dynamo win against L.A.
Yeah, you know, we were proud of the way the guys performed, you know, and I think, you know, the fans left the stadium happy as well. And I think what we were so happy about is we felt it was a complete performance from start to finish. And you know, we're striving to find that consistency within our group and within our season.
Talk a little bit about Lionel Miranda, because, you know, there's nothing like a goal to boost your confidence to go along with a good performance, and that's what you got out of him.
Yeah, you know, I think it's clear that over the course of the last 4 or 5 weeks, you know, he's been growing. And at 21 years old, I mean, obviously, I think we think he put in a very good performance. There's always an adaptation period when you're that age at 21 and you come to a new league and a new country. But I think, you know, as a staff, we were so pleased about is the work he put on both sides of the ball, and he was a constant threat, and he really deserved the goal, and that was kind of the cherry on top of the sundae.
Now, that was an important night for him because he was also playing in front of A.J. Cochran, who was a center back playing left back, which is not always the easiest thing. So in the end, it worked out beautifully. Those two controlled the left side of the field for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Alex Lima, you know, we felt that was probably his best performance of the season. You know, he's technically a very gifted player. You know, the nice thing with him, he can play a variety of positions, very clean on the ball, and he put in so much work defensively that I think he really helped AJ a lot. And you know, again, I think that was his best performance in a Dynamo uniform as well.
He's Dynamo GM Matt Jordan joining us here. Dynamo with a comprehensive 3-0 win over the LA Galaxy. If you weren't down there, you should have been. You can always get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. There was a different air in the building that night. I guess some of it has to be fairly attributed to Steven Gerrard's arrival, and then, of course, the debut of Eric Hugo Torres.
Yeah, it was definitely a different energy in the stadium that night, and it was great. It was great. You know, you could just feel the fans, you know, anticipation and the energy. Obviously, when you got, you know, world stars like Gerrard and Keane, you know, on the field, you know, that brings that energy. You know, we're really pleased that Eric came in. You know, we're obviously working very hard to get Eric Hugo Torres' rhythm and get his fitness levels up. You know, he came in right away and you know, had a great chance, and you can just see he's a very good player. And you know, it's nice when you have him coming in for a guy like Will Bruin with the way Will's been playing. And even when you look at, you know, Rashid Oliabi, you know, he came in, you know, showed a tremendous amount of composure late in the game to contribute to the assist for the third goal.
Speak about some of the new signings overall Major League Soccer's been making. Didier Drogba has gone to your former club, Montreal. Gilberto is back. Pirlo debuted for New York City FC. What does this say to you, you know, with your experience here as both a player and on the administrative and management side in MLS?
Well, look, the landscape of soccer in North America is changing very fast, you know, and I've said that from day one since I came here, and you can see it, and it's happening right before our eyes. It's exciting. We are becoming a very important league in this world, and it's exciting, you know, for someone like yourself and all of us who've been in the game for so long. And you know, I always look at it. I was in this league when it began, and you know where we're at now from where we were. It's leaps and bounds, and it's only going to get bigger. And the Dynamo, we're a serious club. We have serious ambitions. You know, we feel we have everything to play for this season. And you know, you see with all the moves we've been making, you know, we're positioning ourselves when we get our national team guys back to make a strong push to go into the playoffs and beyond.
All right, let's go to Shannon Williams, acquired from Philadelphia. He's an outside back that can get forward. Obviously, possesses that additional weapon of a long throw-in. Tell us about how that deal sort of went down, what your mindset was, and what you think he'll bring to the table here in Houston.
Well, you know, the beauty with a guy like Shannon is that he has a unique ability to play every position along the back line. I mean, and you know as well as I do, over the course of an MLS season, that's very important. He can play center back, he can play right back, he can play left back. Obviously, his long throw is an additional weapon, which is great. When we, you know, we had the unfortunate injury to Jermaine Taylor in the Gold Cup, that he's going to be out for an extended period of time, and we felt, you know, again, to, you know, for our team to be positioned to make a strong push, it was important we made a move. And that's why we were very aggressive about that move, because, again, it shows we mean business, and we're here to win games.
Was Taylor's injury the impetus to really push to make this move, or would it have happened anyway?
You know, I mean, listen, there's always discussions, you know, but at the end of the day, I think the catalyst was Jermaine's injury. You know, and so we, you know, again, there's so many moving parts, and, you know, everything changes from minute to minute, day to day, game to game. And you got to be on your toes and be ready. But we feel, you know, our depth is shown through in this period of time. You've seen it, you know, with the guys, with performances like Nathan Sturgis. You saw even, you know, a young Taylor Hunter at 21 years old who came in, you know, when we made the Ash move and you know, was solid. He didn't get exposed. And so, you know, we feel that our depth is showing through. And then, you know, and like I said, you know, you get, you know, some of our new signings, a guy like Rashid. who has a nice profile. Alex Lima is coming in well. Now we're getting Giles Barnes and Beasley back as well. Boniek's coming back from an injury, and so again, we're excited. You know, we got 13 games, 39 points on the table, and we're ready to go.
So we're down here at training session, and we're looking here, and it's obvious that the competition level has improved at all positions. Do you want these players walking away from training here tonight thinking about competition and being a starter and you know, hey, maybe somebody's after my job, and a little of that healthy pressure which occurs amongst the group?
The only thing I can say to that is that, you know, listen, I played this game a long time, and as did you. And you know, competition is how you get the most out of yourself. And I know the best years I ever had is when I knew I was looking over my shoulder, and you know, the margin for error was very, very, very slim, and I had to be ready to perform. And, I mean, you know, you even look at it how – you know, obviously it's very clear the level of talent that even a young player like Mauro Manotas has, you know, and he's come in and he's had important, you know, he's already contributed in a short period of time. And again, there'll be an adaptation period for him, but he's another young talented guy that all the strikers know is right there nipping at their heels. And I believe competition is how we get the most out of ourselves in life. And I think that'll be the driving force for this group moving forward.
Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan, we're down here at Dynamo Training here today. Let's talk about Owen Coyle, because the word he uses consistently is consistency. So that makes the Sporting Kansas City game a big test, a team that hasn't lost at home. But a great opportunity for the Dynamo to go into Sporting Park and tag this wonderful L.A. win with another good performance.
Yeah, it's we know it's going to be a huge challenge. We know they're a very good team at home. But we've proven, you know, going into some hostile environments this year that the guys know how to perform under pressure. If you look at the way we performed in L.A., look at the way we performed in Toronto, the win we got up there. The coaching staff's working very hard. Owen's doing a good job. But consistency is the key. The consistency is the key, and we just know that we need to position ourselves to make a push at the right time of the year.
Matt, as always, we appreciate your time. Thank you very much for joining us here on Dynamo All Access.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Matt Jordan, general manager of the Houston Dynamo. A lot of the signings he's made, they are coming good here for the Dynamo, and they'll have to do it again this weekend against Sporting Kansas City. Quick word here for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you to get over to HoustonDynamo.com. They remind you to get over there for your Dash and Dynamo tickets. Get down to BBVA Compass Stadium and be a part of it. That's what Bud Light wants. They want you in the stadium. They want you to celebrate the great game of soccer. Bud Light, longtime supporters of the game of soccer. Personally, they've supported me on the radio for many, many years, and they have also certainly supported Soccer Matters and Dynamo All Access. We'll take a break here. Thank you, Bud Light. We got to come back for more.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gow Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. He was a local product here in Houston, Texas, played the game out at Bear Creek Park growing up, went on to be the captain of El Salvador, competed in the recent Gold Cup. You know him from his time in Major League Soccer with both San Jose, FC Dallas, and RSL. Recently been playing in Hungary. He joins us now in the show. He's Arturo Alvarez.
Arturo, thank you very much for coming in the studio.
No, thank you, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
Great surprise when I found out you were in town, so I'm happy you're here.
Yeah, so am I.
So let's talk about El Salvador, because I called all of your games throughout this Gold Cup. Hands down, you guys took care of the football exceptional. The one game I'll take you to is Jamaica. You totally outplayed them. You had a moment where you lost your minds a little bit, conceded the goal. You just didn't seem to have the killer instinct as a team. But, boy, your possession and the movement of the ball and the fluidity with which it moved was really kind of typical Salvadorian soccer.
Yeah, no, I think it was it was a good Gold Cup for a young group of guys. You know, I think for a lot of the team was the first Gold Cup, you know, and I think we showed well. I think we played good soccer throughout the whole group play. And like you said, against Jamaica, I think we were obviously the better team. And in soccer, it happens. We kind of had to push for it and go for it, make sure that, you know, we could use the 3 points from that game. And unfortunately, you know, Jamaica got a good goal off of a counterattack soccer, which, you know, as a Jamaican team, I think, you know, they're good at that. So it just, you know, it was a bit, heartbreaking, you know, going out of the Gold Cup like that. But like you said, you know, soccer, you have to score goals to make sure you go through. So.
So you mentioned young players, and you were captaining this team. You know, it's hard for me to think that you're 29 or 30 years of age, but you're captaining this team of young players. So, look, this is a good tournament. This was, even though you guys, you know, obviously got knocked out at a point in this tournament, this was positive for you guys, I thought, from what I saw. So what's the next step for El Salvador? I mean, will they invest more in this team? I mean, what's the hope and possibility for these young guys? Because, you know, the passion that the fans showed down here in Houston for you and the support and the love that you guys get, how do you now parlay this into being a bigger fish in CONCACAF? And kind of going back to the days like you and I talked about, Mauricio Cienfuegos and Raul Diaz Arce.
Yeah, no, we have to, you know, first of all, I think the crowd, the fans that we get at the stadiums is, you know, it's incredible. I think every game that I've played for El Salvador, I think we always had the most fans there. I think we just have to keep building on the soccer that we showed in the Gold Cup. We have the third round of the World Cup qualifiers coming up. So, you know, we just have to make sure that we keep advancing in that. We have Curaçao. That's what we drew in the. So we're playing the Curaçao. It's an island who I think Patrick Kluivert is a coach. You know, we just beat St. Kitts, which was not an easy rival. We tied 2-2 there, and then we won in San Salvador 4-1. But, you know, these Caribbean teams are coming up, and so we just have to make sure that we are focused, that we, you know, we keep having confidence with, you know, in ourselves, which is something that I think this Salvadorian team was missing, and I think we found it in the Gold Cup.
A renewed confidence.
Yeah.
Albert Roca, your manager, did he help you find that confidence?
I think he did. I think he did. He had a lot to do with that. You know, he's a Spanish coach. He worked at FC Barcelona for some time under Rijkaard. So, you know, he brought that possession game to us. You know, we had that mentality that, you know, we have to make sure that we keep the ball, especially since we're not a big physical team. So obviously whenever you play teams like, you know, Canada or Jamaica or even the U.S., you know, we were not going to try to get into a physical game. So we had to make sure that we keep the ball.
Well, isn't that what negates the physicality against you? I mean, you guys have to have a good night on the ball against teams that you would consider more physical than you. I know we talked about that a lot on the broadcast, and you seem to do that every game.
Yeah, no, exactly. We were making sure that we did that. We had good good movement off the ball, so we can find each other and make sure we got up the field. And I think you know, we did that. We were kind of missing that final touch and. In front of goal, but I think with more games that we play, I think we're going to have a good team. Hopefully we can keep going and keep growing as a team together. And unfortunately, the coach has left. He won't be coaching us anymore. So
what happened there with Albert Roca? That's too bad, because I thought, you know, he's got to get a lot of credit for this Gold Cup.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was something really unexpected. To be honest with you, I personally don't know exactly the reasons why. All I know is that from what I've read is it's personal reasons. So, you know, it's gonna be tough to replace him. But I think we just have to make sure that, you know, we kind of have to keep the same mentality that we've had, you know, the last year and 3 months.
He seemed very professional to me. You know, obviously with his background, I mean, he followed Rijkaard everywhere. I mean,
yeah,
Turkey,
did.
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
This was a man who knew football. What type of leader, what type of manager was he?
He was definitely, you know, I think he was a player's coach. I think everyone liked him. Everyone got along with him. You know, the most important thing was that he believed in every single player that he had in that group. So I think he showed that well. You know, I think when you have that in players, that they're gonna perform on the field.
he's going to suffer because you guys couldn't produce the end product, right? I mean, that in the end is the difference here. Because the football you played was solid. It was good. Yeah, play teams. You had more of the possession. You had the better chances. You couldn't put the dagger in. And that's why when I'm looking at an article here that says Albert Rocha sacked, it says he was sacked because of a poor performance at the Gold Cup. When I look at it and I say, I think this is actually a step up for El Salvador, it's a good basis and a platform. But then when I hear that Albert Rocha has left, it kind of makes me sad because he can't continue his work on the project.
Yeah, you know, I think it's something that has always affected Salvadorian soccer. You know, it's always, there's a coach that comes in and it's, you know, it's a process, you know, it's a long process, especially with the national teams because, you know, you don't get together as often, you know, you only play games, FIFA dates and stuff like that. So, you know, we were working with him well for a year and 3 months. And next thing you know, just that process comes to an end. And now we kind of have to adapt to a new way of thinking of whoever takes over. So it's, you know, it's difficult. But I think, you know, it's part of soccer. It's part of being a professional athlete. And we just have to kind of, you know, deal with it and move on and make sure that we do things well.
He's Arturo Alvarez. He's in studio here tonight. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. This interview with Arturo Alvarez brought to you by 7-Up. You know, I look at the professional domestic league in El Salvador and I say to myself, until that can get strengthened, gosh, in some ways it's deflating because if you could get that to be strengthened, you could get some continuity, you could get more investment in the game, you've got talented soccer players from an amazing soccer culture.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, to be quite honest, you know, I have 30 something caps for El Salvador, and I think that game here in Houston was one of the loudest games. You know, obviously we were playing Costa Rica. It was always a big rivalry within Central American teams, but you know, it was, you know, scoring that goal in the last minute, and it was just, I mean, the fans, the way they live soccer, the way they, you know, they support, you know, even, you know, in good and bad times, it's just, you know, it's amazing. It's just obviously, you know, the infrastructure of the league and everything, the organization of the league is not the best, but the talent's there.
You mentioned the fans, and that was an amazing night because they called that game, and even through a monitor in a studio in L.A., you could sense the passion and the excitement. I was wishing I was there physically calling it. But they're a great fan base because there's so much nationalism in it. And let's be fair, you don't win all the time, and they're still right behind you.
Like I told you, I say it all the time. Amazing. I think we have one of the best fan bases in the world, you know, because, you know, obviously it's, you know, Salvadorian soccer has gone through a lot, you know, more problems than anything. And they're still there, and they're always supporting, and that just kind of gives you a little bit of extra motivation to go out there and do well for them, you know. So that's what we did in the Gold Cup, you know. I think there was a lot of doubt in our national team for the Gold Cup, and I think everyone, all the fans, at least from the fans' perspective, they were all really satisfied and happy with the way that we played, you know. And you know, obviously, there's always going to be the media, you know, Salvador, that, you know, can be hard on us. But at the end of the day, we just have to make sure we keep going forward and kind of, you know, don't pay attention to them.
One of those two draws you win, you would have advanced.
Exactly. I mean, that's...
You were one goal away from it.
One goal, and that's why, you know, we went for it. And unfortunately, you know, we kind of got scored on, and that's the way soccer goes sometimes. But we just got to build on from a great performance at the Gold Cup.
Great having Arturo Alvarez on the show, and that you can never shine the light on the local product enough here in Houston, Texas. And we must remind ourselves, we have produced a number of players for colleges, universities around the country. The professional leagues as well have been stockpiled with Houston area players and Texas players. All right, we'll keep on rolling here with Dynamo All Access at Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. A quick word here for Budweiser. Budweiser and Bud Light remind you, you got to get over to HoustonDynamo.com. You can get your ticket packages there for both the Dynamo and the Houston Dash.
There's all kinds of great seats. Again, the best professional sporting value in town. Bud Light reminds you, get over to BBVA Compass Stadium because they want you to be in this stadium. In the stadium with like-minded individuals who love the game of soccer. Bud Light is the official beer of the Houston Dynamo, the Mexican national team, and Dynamo All Access on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. Bud Light, the perfect beer for whatever happens. Break time. We'll come back with more.
Presented by Bud White on your home for the Houston Dynamo. Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 from high atop the Gal building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Dynamo All Access. Joining us now, U.S. Women's National Team star, winner of the World Cup in Canada, and a member of the Houston Dash, Carly Lloyd. Carly, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
You know, we can track you down anywhere. We got you right off the plane here.
Yeah. One thing to the next, it's all good.
Yeah, talk about the whirlwind, because I can only imagine this is unbelievable to manage right now.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I mean, I've been kind of full go since we wrapped up the World Cup final, but it's been good. I've been able to experience different things, meet different people, you know, kind of promote the league and just continue to ride the wave because, you know, just kind of something we need to do to in order to keep building women's soccer.
You yourself, what are some of the most interesting things you've done since winning that World Cup?
Well, I've done, you know, from the ticker tape parade, LA Live, Taylor Swift concert to, you know, doing some Xbox games with Halo and Assassin's Creed, having some fun with the Workaholics crew and that show that they do. So it's just been a wide variety of things. And today I just wrapped up something with Dick's Sporting Goods, a Sports Matter initiative, and something that they've started. And, you know, just some really good powering things that, you know, I can be a part of and help out in any way.
When everybody comes after you, sponsors and things, do you talk to them about trying to weave in the NWSL? I know they can at all you know, at all junctures, but is that something they get? Do they get that there's two things going on here? There's Carly Lloyd, the World Cup winner, who's known around the world now, and then there's Carly Lloyd in the NWSL.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of them. I mean, I actually was just on Good Day New York today, and they brought up the fact that, you know, I played for the Houston Dash, and that was pretty cool. I mean, because not too many people are aware that we're really still in season and we have a lot going on right now. And it's just important to get the word out for people to understand. I mean, I think people are really starting to understand kind of the pay gap as well. I know it was a big thing with FIFA, with the men got Germany men when they won the World Cup, and then, you know, what we got from FIFA. So it's really good. I mean, we're sparking interest, which is what we want.
She's Carly Lloyd. 7:30 p.m. tomorrow night, the Dash will take on FC Kansas City, a huge game. You must have seen the news today that the Brazilian midfielder Andressa has signed with your team. I mean, it's incredible, the talent that's been brought in here now. So now you got another World Cup veteran that will enter into this team.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I, you know, knew a little bit about her, but it's great to be able to play with people that, you know, are good with the ball at their feet. And I know that the NWSL is a little bit of a, you know, a different kind of animal as far as it being a very physical league. And, you know, it does take some getting used to, but I'm really looking forward to meeting her and, you know, hopefully maybe seeing her on the pitch tomorrow night. But it's good, you know, it's a push that we need to keep going with seven games left.
How difficult is it to transition back into NWSL play? I mean, obviously, they're different environments. It's a different team. You know, is it with all this fame and exposure that you're getting, is it a little bit tougher to get your game face on?
No, I mean, when I step out on the field, I'm always out there competing and wanting to win. And, you know, I would say it's different in the fact that, you know, I haven't been doing my normal training routine, and I have taken some time off to fly all over the place for media and appearances. But at the same time, I'm still mentally powering through and doing what I need to do on the field in order to help the team win. And this is a time where there's not a whole lot of pressure. It's kind of a time where I can step out on the field and work on things and express myself and try different things. So it's a shift in regards to, yes, we played at the highest level just recently, 3 weeks ago at the World Cup with packed stadiums and everything on the line. But at the same time, you know, that's not why you play. You play because you love it. And every time I step out on the field, whether I'm with the national team or whether I'm with Houston Dash, I still have that love for the game, and I still want to compete and improve on a daily basis.
Look, your story is a great one because it is such a story of commitment, consistency, hard work, all these things that maybe everybody doesn't recognize when they just see you at the pinnacle. But isn't it about what you do when the cameras aren't on you and when no one's watching?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the famous line is, you know, what I've done when no one is watching. And I've pushed my body to max limits that, you know, I didn't think were even possible. I've trained and I've taken care of my body on and off the field, you know, tried to do all the right things in order to get me to this point. But that's what it's all about, is just clocking in all those hours, training, honing in on what you need to do. There's been, you know, lots of people that have doubted me throughout my career. There's been lots of people that have wanted to see me go backwards, and I've given them not an ounce to ever think that, and that's what it's all about.
The word no, you've obviously been able to say that, because to make this type of a sacrifice, you have to say no to a lot of other things socially. In fact, you even told me, and we were thankful, you gave us an interview before the World Cup final, which was very gracious of you. But you also told us that, you know, you didn't have any of your family members there. They were kind of out of sight, out of mind, so that you could kind of get zoned in.
Yeah, it's kind of my thing. And I've, you know, told my fiance Brian after I got home, like, you know, look, it would have been great for you to be a part of it, would have been great for you to be there, but from now on, you can't ever come. And that's how it is with my family as well. I mean, I've won and done well at every event that I haven't had somebody there. So it obviously works, and it isn't a distraction. It's something that I don't have to worry about as far as figuring out tickets and figuring out meeting up with them after the games. I can literally just roll off the bus, go eat my meal, get in my room, shower up, stretch, and start focusing on the next game. So it's great, and I've had people say, you know, don't you miss them? But you know, I see them my whole life. Yes, I'm traveling here and there, but it's basically every 4 years you get to this point of playing in a World Cup, and it's not a lot to sacrifice a month without seeing your significant other, loved ones. So for me, it's, you know, I'm in the office and I have to do what I have to do.
She's Carly Lloyd, U.S. Women's National Team World Cup winner. Carly, just take me to the thought process of your goal from the halfway line that was just so spectacular. I mean, prior to even striking the ball, just because of the thought process and the confidence to hit it. But take us a little deeper into that, what you saw, what you felt.
Well, I've trained that a while back, and I didn't really come close. I've attempted it a couple of games earlier in my career, and one was a little close, one was way off. But it's, you know, it's one of those things where you train a lot of different things on the training field, and you never know when those things are going to ever come into play. And when they do, you're like, wow, you know, I'm so glad that I actually worked on that. But for me in that game, it wasn't a matter of, you know, eyeing up the situation and thinking, should I do it, should I not do it? There was no time to think. I basically saw the keeper off a really far off her line, and it was one of those things where instincts just kicked in, and I went for it. And my touch set me up to be able to launch a ball that far. Once I struck it, came off my foot, and I just felt that I hit it really, really well. And then I started to see it going in the frame of the goal, and I thought to myself, this could possibly go in. And when it went in, I just started laughing, and I remember running back to Hope Solo and cheering with her, and you know, she was like, are you kidding me? Did you just do that? But it was crazy to pull that off in the final.
After you hit it, was it in real speed? Was it a little slower as you watched it?
I don't really remember. I mean, I think it just kind of happened, and I felt like I was just so in a zone and on a mission that those first 16 minutes when we scored four goals was just surreal. You know, it was one of those moments where it just felt like it happened in the blink of an eye, and then, you know, we were just trying to keep the lead up for the rest of the game.
She's Carly Lloyd joining us here on Dynamo All Access, Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. When you come back to the Houston Dash, Carly, is there a danger that the Kalia Ohais, you know, the Brittany Box, the other players will stand around and wait for you to take over? How does that all work? Because it's a different dynamic, and the fact is you guys have a number of very important games coming up in a pretty short amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, I think our team's in a good place. I mean, I know that it's been really difficult for me to kind of be away from the team setting, and I've explained to my teammates that this is kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for me to take advantage of, and, you know, I will be back full-time next week, which will be great, but, you know, I think that we're in a good place, and we know what's on the line. I thought last game was huge for us. And now it's just about taking it one game at a time. And I think there's lots of people on our team that, you know, are able to step up and do good things. And I think Randy and the coaching staff have been doing a great job of adapting and adjusting and figuring out the tactical side of things. And now it's just a matter of getting chances, putting them away, and closing out games.
Last one before we let you go. And again, we thank you very much for coming on the show. Carly, have you processed this whole World Cup, or is it still? Are you still in the midst of processing it all?
I mean, I think I have. I had a ceremony that the Medford Strikers Club team back in New Jersey that I'm affiliated with put on for me, and after that, I had close family and friends, you know, had a party, and we all just hung out, and it was overwhelming. You know, it's one of those things where you're going around, you're trying to say hello to everybody. It's been the first time I'd seen most of my close family and friends after the World Cup, and I think that was the point moment where it had all sunk in. I had people speaking. Heather Mitz was there speaking. You know, some tears have been shed, and that was kind of the first time where I was in front of people that have been near and dear to me and have been there from the beginning. And it definitely sunk in watching highlights. But soon enough, you know, be back to reality. And it honestly feels like the World Cup was a year ago already. But it's just been, you know, it's been crazy. And I've been enjoying every moment.
Well, congratulations. It couldn't have happened to a better person and one that obviously thoroughly deserves so much, as well as your teammates, for what was a spectacular Women's World Cup. She's Carly Lloyd. Carly, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. That'll do it tonight. We go out in style with Carly Lloyd. And I want to remind you that Bud Light, over the years, the official beer of the Dynamo and the Mexican national team, has supported the great game of soccer. They have supported soccer on the radio. So thank you, Bud Light, for supporting us on Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 and also Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. They've been with me since the beginning.
Bud Light reminds you, get over to HoustonDynamo.com, get your tickets for the Dynamo and Dash, get down to the stadium. Bud Light, the perfect beer for whatever happens, and whatever happens right now could be Bud Light. It is the official beer also of the CONCACAF Gold Cup. That wraps it up tonight. HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. Twitter, Glenn Davis Soc. Facebook, Soccer Matters. For all of you who listened in tonight or to the podcast, thank you very much. A reminder, you get the podcast at ESPN975.com. Go to the audio vault, click Soccer Matters or Dynamo All Access, and also on iTunes. Have a great night. I'm Glenn Davis.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.